So welcome to Phonar. For those of you joining us for the first time, my name's Jonathan Worth, and today we're talking to Wasma Mansour. Wasma, your background isn't photography. You studied architecture, I think, before you came to photography through your postgraduate study. Is that right?
Yes. It's like you said, my undergrad was in interior architecture, but after graduating, I got into photography through assisting and managing a black and white darkroom. And it's basically then that I discovered that I really enjoyed taking pictures and, you know, using it as a way to explore, you know, subject matter.
And sorry, we should also point out, because it's really important for this project, that you weren't brought up in the UK, were you?
No, I'm born and raised in Saudi Arabia. I moved to the UK to do my MA in Contemporary Arts at Oxford Brookes University.
And the piece of work we're going to talk about today is called Single Saudi Women. So a little bit more about that in a moment. But my first question to you is which came first? Was it photography or was it the project?
I have always been interested in the subject matter of Saudi women. But I chose to basically explore it with photography, obviously, for the PhD project. But I think they both happened independently. And I just decided that I wanted to explore that subject by taking photographs of them. And my basically reasoning for that is that when you look at the vastly stereotyped images that are out there of Saudi women, they're monotonous and they pretty much depict the Saudi women in a particular way, which is heavily veiled, very passive in a sense. And I just thought that it would be useful to add something else to the debate as well, something more nuanced.
When people come to these images, you know, they're very beautiful, they're very pared down, they're very clean. But I guess when you frame it that you came from an architectural background, it kind of makes sense. That sort of very, as I say, they're quite at a quite distance. You use 5.4, don't you? Use large format to make these images. How important is that in the actual process of making the images?
With regards to creating the portraits, using the large format camera was very important. As you know, setting up a 4.5 camera is a very slow process. And for me, it served a very important purpose, which is to kind of like help the participants. First of all, it got them really interested in this whole aspect of me photographing them. And another thing, because all the portraits are constructed in a way, it allowed me to create Polaroid proofs, which I would share with the participant, and she would suggest or she would basically indicate how she would want to appear in her portrait. So for me, it was important on many levels.
Yeah, that sort of foil of the mechanics of the process is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what you're describing there is almost sort of a collaborative negotiation of this image making. Now, why is that important?
Well, because, you know, there is this whole question of, you know, the visibility of the Saudi woman that is really important for her and consequently, you know, her family. So I always figured that it's quite important to prioritize, you know, her preference, how she wants to appear and the degrees of visibility that she would allow in her photograph. Obviously, I mean, when you look at the portraits that I've taken, you've seen some of the women who don't basically who give their backs to the camera, so there is barely any degree of visibility. But then you have a few photographs where they actually confront the camera. I always leave that to the participant to decide.
So for someone who's unfamiliar with Saudi culture, could you just dip into that a little bit more and explain why this is so important, why this is such an issue?
Because when you go to Saudi Arabia, there is the concept of, you know, segregation between men and women is paramount. And it manifests in photography, basically the women not showing their faces or revealing their identities to the public.
Okay, so this is I mean, this is quite a brave move then, isn't it, by the subjects? I mean, this is must take, they must, you must have to sort of work quite hard to gain their trust. I mean, I have lots of questions. I mean, one of them, I guess, sort of coming from that background, it's easy to assume that you were part of the fabric of those networks. But I mean, how easy was it for you to connect with these people? First off,
it was a very interesting process because I I was under the impression that finding everybody would be quite easy. You know, I'll just compile a, you know, call for participation, and then I will get, you know, hundreds of emails flooding. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. I even did something that is crazy, which is basically, you know, just go on Facebook and look for participants and just send them random messages. And of course, that barely yielded anything. However, I did manage to work with a participant through Twitter, and she was a well-known figure there. But the majority of the participants came from personal networks, and having just one person to vouch for my credibility. And I think this is really important and key, is to have one person that would talk to the participants for me, and in that sense, you know, just let them know that I'm a trustworthy person.
So it is that that credible witness by proxy sort of thing, that proxy trust.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting.
Absolutely.
It's interesting as well that that you got your first, because that you actually had some success with Twitter, because Twitter is a fairly anonymous little space, isn't it? I mean, anonymous in the sense that it's fairly serendipitous. It happens very quickly, then things are gone. As opposed to Facebook, which really hangs around. They really are much more personal connections on Facebook.
Absolutely.
So having made those contacts, having begun to get your first, like you say, your first subject, and then your second, you know, reference and so on, and how do you maintain that trust? I mean, how do you actually build that? It's all very well if someone vouches to get you in the door, but you've got to hold that trust, haven't you? You've got to build that relationship further. How did that manifest itself?
Absolutely. Well, the process starts with me meeting the participants, if they choose, in a, you know, neutral space, I don't know, in a coffee shop or whatever, and I'd introduce myself and show them samples of my work. I talk to them about my project and just let them know what I want to do with this project. And then they would invite me to their home, and we just start talking about what it means to be single. And it's basically having questions like that that are, in a sense, I would say, semi-structured, because I don't want to limit, and especially that I incorporated oral history into the project. So my focus is to just allow the participants to talk, and it's just me having a secondary role in this, instigating one question and allowing the participants to just share their story. And then comes the photography. So in a sense, the narrative of the participants leads into, you know, what photographs I'll be taking, which is why when we looked at the portraits and then you have the still life, particularly the still life, a lot of, you know, my choice of what to photograph there was basically inspired by the stories that, or the narratives of the participants.
That's lovely. That speaks to something that Dalia Camisi said, and I'm really pleased that you introduced her and encouraged her to be a part of this conversation. And when she talked about her still life, because of course a lot of the subjects that she's photographing aren't there. They can't be photographed. You know, she's photographing missing people. I'd love to come back to, because what we haven't talked about, what it means to be single. I mean, and that is the title. But let's come back to that in a minute, because you kind of ended at the moment that you take the pictures. And of course, one of the things that we're aware of is that there is that triad relationship between the photographer, the subject, and the audience. Now, you've got the trust of your subject at this point. You've negotiated and collaborated in order to make an image that you're both happy with. But now they've had to let go. And they've got to trust you now to look after their representation as it shoots off into the world. So how are you dealing with that that part of the relationship?
Before the project was finalized, I'd say, for the PhD, because I had to sort of, not wrap things up, but I had to stop because I'm doing this project for PhD research. I maintained a blog. And in that blog, I put, you know, some of the photographs that I've taken of the participants. And in a way, I gave them the opportunity to give me feedback, which was very, very helpful, particularly with one of the photographs of the veil that I took of the participant. But throughout this, I mean, the participants know that, you know, these photographs would be, you know, used for my website and for my research. And I, whenever I would take photographs of them, it's like I said, I proof them with a Polaroid. So they basically have an idea of what this image will look in the end. I mean, I don't just meet the participants one time. I mean, some of them I've worked with in the span of 2 years. So whenever I meet them again, I always show them a sample of, the images, the final photographs that I've created, and just to get their final approval of it. So it's always, I think it's for me, it was very useful to be transparent with the participant and just show them the end product, if they're happy with it or not. If they're not happy with it, then we'll do something again.
Wow, it really is quite an investment, isn't it? An invested sort of contract, you
It's
know.
a laborious process, to say the
Yeah,
least.
it is. But clearly one that can really, as you say, can is really. You've asked a lot, I guess. I mean that which comes back to the title. Why is single Saudi women such an issue? I mean, and so when you get that feedback, and then people talk about the images, and that conversation continues. Where does that leave you? So what are the conversations around being a single Saudi woman?
Academic work that's previously done has focused on basically single people, but no one has delved into the topic of single Saudi women the way that I have, which is through photography and through the oral history narratives. So in a sense, it kind of like merges between, the academic work as well as the artistic.
I absolutely love the still lives, Wasma. I'm enthralled. I mean, I love the still lives of Dahlia for very different reasons. Hers were beautifully traumatic, whereas yours are just really pared down, simple. They're just great. Maybe it's your, I don't know. I want to say it's an easy crutch to fall on that your architectural background has something to say here. But I mean, I'm looking at this what looks like a perhaps a brass kettle on a. On a modern stove with an IKEA tea towel, it could be, but this beautiful band of light that runs around the back of it. It's just so pared down and so simple. I mean, are there any images that, or perhaps subjects that really stick out for you, in this project?
Well, if we look at the images that I've included here for the still life, you'll notice that some of these interiors, I mean, are one would assume that they're interiors found in any home, or like a home, let's say here in the UK. But then when you look closely, you actually see some bits that are not seen, in your average household in the UK. And it's good that you mentioned the brass teapot. This is a very popular teapot. You'll probably find it in almost every household in Saudi, and I even have one of this as well. And it is used to make tea or even coffee. But there is a I don't know. I think with this particular participant, there is an element of nostalgia. I mean, you could actually recognize from this setting is a very, very modern, very sleek, very minimalist environment. So the fact that you have something as, quite vintage, I would say, because this is a really, really old teapot, in that space completely struck my attention. Not because of the fact that I knew what it was, but just finding that in that setting felt a little bit strange. But for her, it was really, really important that she would travel with this teapot. And same thing with the, if you look at the image that came after, which basically shows this box of treats, which her mother's, it's basically their date treats, which her mother sent to her. And when you look generally at all these images, there is, small elements of, I would say, Saudiness, that kind of like emerge, whether it's an incense burner or, a basically, a post-it with prayers on them that are placed on the wall. And another favorite one of mine is the white frame, which it has this 2 pages of like notes that are, placed on them, and it's it was basically a list of it was a letter that was given to the participant by her father. I don't know whether you'll be able to zoom or not, but it was really, really heartwarming because this participant has a very, very close relationship with her father. So he just, gave her like a list of advice on how to take care of herself now that she's on her own in the UK. And I thought this was very, very interesting to show, because somehow it will highlight. I mean, one of the reasons why I wanted to photograph this image in particular, or actually create a photograph of this, is to show that there is this connection with the home, whether through family members or even connections to the land, and it just goes back to what I said. There is this bond, and relocating abroad does not mean that this bond is severed.
No, you've said how you've said how you were surprised by people asking you when you showed this work. Do these women want to go back? And I must admit, their question hadn't occurred to me. The question I would like to ask is how these sort of still life objects that you've chosen are sort of more sort of cultural signifiers, or are they sort of sentimental? You know, is that something you've investigated, or you've asked them? Or what's your impression?
Yeah. Whenever I would go to the participant's home, she'd basically offer me a tour around the flat. And it's in a sense, it became quite normal for me to see these, as you said, you know, these signifiers basically around their home. And not only are they, you know, sentimental, but they often, take for example, you know, the photograph of the pantry. It even shows their consumption habits, you know, the food that they eat. And just because they've relocated all the way to the UK does not mean that their dietary or their Saudi dietary habits changed. You know, some of them still choose to consume dates and even insist that their dates come from Saudi Arabia, which I found very interesting as well, because as you touched upon the question by some of the people who saw my work, you know, the fact that they've relocated, I mean, I did come across some participants who, you know, wanted to integrate with sort of, you know, the British culture, but then you did have some of them who became even more attached to their Saudi identities. So in a sense, it's all the women that I've met, they kind of like, it's a very wide spectrum. I mean, I can't say that they've all integrated the same way, or that they've all been attached to or choose to be Saudi, or like their Saudi identity would manifest in the same way. And it's quite refreshing actually to see that you have various degrees of this.
I think that idea of people sort of taking on, assuming sort of cultural identities when they become expats, or
yeah,
the different sorts of versions of that cultural identity when they're away from home is something that's familiar to most of us. I mean, this kind of would be a good time to talk about the third, perhaps, body of this work, which is the package of a package of a package. I mean, could you introduce that to us as well?
Sure. And this actually, just to follow up on, you know, the whole idea of, you know, or the question of that, you know, Saudi women, you know, once they've relocated abroad, they have no intention of going back. I mean, the fact that all the participants that I've met still kept their veils is a clear indication that they do want to have connection to Saudi. They do go back to Saudi for whatever reasons. And, you know, this whole idea of the veil is a subject matter that has been explored explored very well by many photographers before me. And, you know, these participants, they don't wear the veil or the abaya in the UK. So I had to be very careful as to not misrepresent their realities in the UK.
They're great. They're a great set of still lives. I mean, I'm interested, have the subjects ever met each other?
Some of them know each other, but not all of them.
Okay, so there's never a point then when all these still lives are along the wall and anyone's been asked to stand next to their veil then, or be identified
with
their green
plastic
bag versus their blue one.
Or become too academic.
I think that was really nice, actually. I'm going to leave that in. And leave it as too academic. I'm going to cut this bit out, but I'm going to leave that in. You know, there is so much there, Wesma. There is so much there for... Well, it inspires me. I'm really excited. But I think there are so many levels to each of the three pieces of work that we've looked at, and the way that you've approached it, and the subject matter itself, for us to now sort of unpick and to build our own work from. I'm sure people are going to have questions for you, and it's great that you've agreed to do the 20 for 20s so people can get tutorials with you, book discussions, perhaps share their own work via the contributors page. This has taken quite a fast journey, your life as a photographer, and negotiating this project. I mean, what would be the key lesson that you'd pass on to someone?
I think the one thing that I've learned from my project is to prioritize the participant and let them lead, especially with regards to how they, if the idea of the representation is quite sensitive and critical, I think it makes complete sense that they lead the way in how they want to, you know, appear in your photograph, and just, you know, rely on basically what they tell you.
That's awesome, Wesma. Thank you very much indeed. And will you check in on us again during Phonar, and perhaps let us know how you're getting on?
Oh, will do. Thank you so much for this interview.
Thank you.